This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Cohen.
I'm Alex Chadwick. Developments today in Myanmar, where the leader of the country's ruling junta says he will meet with the leading opposition leader, but only if certain conditions are met. The state media there also said more than 2,000 people were arrested and 10 were killed in pro-democracy demonstrations last month. Dissidents say more than 6,000 were detained and 200 killed. Foreign reporters are not allowed into Myanmar at the moment. NPR's Michael Sullivan is with us from Bangkok, Thailand. Michael, General Tan Shwe, that's the leader of the junta, says that he will meet with the democracy leader, Aung San Suu Kyi, under certain conditions. What is he saying she has to do or the opposition has to do?
Well, here's the preconditions, Alex. She has to stop being, quote, confrontational. She has to abandon her, quote, obstructive measures. She has to give up her support for sanctions. And if she does all that, Tan Shwe says, according to state-run media, then he'll talk to her.
Well, what would that meeting be? A kind of a big deal? Do we believe that this offer is real from the general?
I wouldn't hold my breath on this one. I mean, that's a lot of ifs. And remember, this is on state-run television, which is a propaganda machine, so it's playing to a domestic audience. We still haven't heard from the UN envoy, Ibrahim Gumbery, himself. He's briefing his boss first. And I'm struck by a photo that was taken of him and Aung San Suu Kyi after he had met with the military leader, Tan Shwe, on Monday, I think it was. Gumbery is smiling, and the look on Aung San Suu Kyi's face is just heartbreaking. It's the face of a woman who hasn't heard anything that might give her hope in a long time. And if there had been any real progress made over the weekend between the UN envoy and the military leaders, I think her face would have looked a lot different. It didn't. And in the meantime, the crackdown's continuing.
You've been up on the border of Thailand and Myanmar for a couple of days. What's happening there?
There's no influx of refugees, as some had feared. And I was told by Burmese exile groups today that one of the reasons why we haven't seen a lot of monks or other protesters coming across is because security forces are restricting people's movements, in particular making sure that people with cameras, people with pictures, don't get them out. I mean, remember, the military has basically shut down the internet and phone service since the weekend to keep photos and reports from getting out. And I think they're trying to control what people see, and they're doing a good job of it.
But do you mean they actually can control the border? They can keep refugees from crossing into Thailand? Because they've sure been crossing in the past, haven't they?
They can't keep them from crossing illegally, but they can certainly, you know, shut down the border posts and keep them from coming across legally, or they can limit the numbers. But I think that's not really what they're trying to do at this point. I mean, people who are already near the border, they go back and forth every day into Thailand because, you know, they can work there and the Thais pay them less money and everyone is happy with that arrangement. I think what the military is worried about is people leaving Yangon and getting across to Thailand with pictures of what's been happening, because that's what they don't want the world to see.
NPR's Michael Sullivan with us from Bangkok. Michael, thank you again.
You're welcome, Alex.
It's no surprise if you haven't heard much about Myanmar before the recent uprising there. The nation's rulers keep a very low profile outside their country. They don't participate in the United Nations. They don't do press conferences. The military has been in control of Myanmar since 1962. Before that, the country was known as Burma. The current leader, General Than Shwe, took control nearly 20 years ago. To get a better understanding of how politics work in Myanmar, we turn now to Monique Skidmore. She's the author of several books about Burma, including Karaoke Fascism, Burma, and the Politics of Fear. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Can you tell us what we know about the current leader, General Than Shwe? How does he maintain control of people there?
Well, Than Shwe spent some of his formative years in the Department for Psychological Warfare. So he's certainly very well versed in the strategic use of political violence to create fear. So much of what he does is about creating just enough fear to paralyze the population and to maintain that.
Monique, I think it may be hard for people here in the West to understand what it's like to live in a society like that. You spent a fair bit of time there. Can you explain kind of the psychological toll that it takes on the people of Myanmar to live under some of these practices?
I think probably the most insidious thing that occurs is that the enormous amount of censorship over time creates self-censorship. So Burmese people eventually become complicit with the military regime in perpetuating what occurs because they stop themselves from thinking about freedom. They stop themselves from thinking pro-democracy thoughts and from taking part in the kinds of activities that are banned because they might lead to democracy. The other thing that's very insidious is after a while, that barrage of propaganda, it's very hard to psychologically keep yourself apart from it. And we're talking about now almost a third generation born under dictatorship. So when the regime talks about a love of motherland, a need to protect the country against foreigners eyeing off the country's resources, it resonates just a little bit with Burmese people, and it sets up just enough doubt in their mind that they can be borne along just a little bit.
The state has pretty much shut down people's access to information. They've closed down phone lines and, you know, shut off the internet. But there's still a fair amount of information that's managing to get out of Myanmar. Is that a sign to you that the government might be losing some control now?
There's been the most incredible phenomenon happen in the last few weeks, that of citizen journalists. And this is people taking responsibility for getting the news out themselves, rather than relying on reporters from international news agencies coming into the country. They're now taking responsibility to, even if it's one frame on a mobile phone, to at least snap one image and then take it out of the country.
Buddhist monks have taken the lead in the recent protests. Can you explain the role that these monks play in Myanmar and the relationship that they have with the military there?
This is only the third time, we think, in recorded history that the monks have turned against the government in Burma and tried to overthrow it. It's significant because in 1990, the military regime raided over 130 monasteries in Mandalay alone. It went in and got rid of everyone it thought had pro-democracy sentiments. So it's taken this long for the monasteries to really build up a cohort of monks willing to come out against the government.
Monique Skidmore, author of Karaoke Fascism, Burma, and the Politics of Fear, thanks so much for joining us.
You're quite welcome.